This is Kenya, and welcome to my Magical Cottagecore Life. I've been going through my seed packets, and while I was looking through them, I realized that there's a flower that used to always come back in my garden that seems to not come back as much, and last year it didn't come back at all. I do have some of the seeds here, though, and it's early enough that I should still be able to get them to grow. They're beautiful, but the name that you know them by might not be the actual name of this plant. And we talk about nicknames and things like that. As you can tell, my nose is still very stuffy. I do apologize for the odd sounding nature of my voice. But I was thinking, who really knows what this plant is called and what it's for? So, open up your big book of stuff and turn to the section on surprising names for plants, because today we're going to talk about scorpion grass. It might not be what you think. Let's get started. Okay, so before we go any further, I called it scorpion grass. Technically, it's scorpion grasses. I don't know why the English named it that way. It's also known as Myosotis scorpioides. Remember, we always want to know the Latin name of the plant we're using or referring to. And this is because of the way it kind of looks. In Greek, the first part of its name means mouse ear, because the flower petals kind of, they look like little mice ears or mouse ears. And then the rest is because of the way that the flowers are on the stem, which we call that kind of formation a scorpioid or something like that would be in that area where there's a main stem and there's branching out of the little flowers and stuff like that. And you can look further into it, but I'm wondering, do you know what plant we're talking about yet? Isn't it great to be able to look up things by Latin names? Isn't it wonderful? If you haven't looked it up yet, I guess this is where we have to come clean and tell you what the plant is, what this beautiful flower is. And once you know the name of it, I'm pretty sure you won't forget it, because people call it by its nickname, right? Have you guessed it yet? Scorpion grasses is known to us as forget-me-nots. Yeah, really, that's the plant I'm talking about. Those flowers that we call forget-me-nots are scorpion grasses. That is so cool. Or as we call it here, scorpion grass. That is just the coolest thing ever. It goes from this really sweet, frilly, you know, kind, sympathy-inducing name. And also that name is because it commemorates a lot of events. All the way over to scorpion grasses, and all the way back to mouse ear. I think that's pretty cool, and now that you've heard of that, you won't forget it. But let's talk about a few more things regarding this little plant. Did you know that the forget-me-not is basically worldwide in the Western world? I'm being very specific, in the Western world, because remember, there are more cultural diasporas than just the Western one, but it is a symbol of commemoration. Now, for some people, it is a symbol of fallen soldiers to always remember their sacrifice. But if you were in certain organizations, like my family is, or and many people that I know are, you'll recognize the forget-me-not as a symbol of membership in commemoration to the time when the Freemasons were persecuted under the Nazi Party in Germany during the wars in World War II. Because the forget-me-not was already a symbol for Freemasons. In fact, it was a symbol they wore that could actually allow them to recognize, you know, each other in public. There's other ways to recognize Masons in public, well, Freemasons. I just want to point out that I do know that. I'm laughing, but you know what I mean. But the Nazi Party in Germany also wore forget-me-nots. So it was a way that they could not be detected when they were going to meetings, and a way of resistance, because they wore it to commemorate the Freemasons who were suffering under the Nazi Party, even in the face of the Nazi Party using the same flower. So you could say that forget-me-nots were also kind of a floral double agent. I mean, that's kind of wild. Scorpion grasses, it really has all kinds of weird ways to have many names and many faces. That's pretty cool. Now, I wouldn't run around eating these because, remember, say it with me, don't just put things in your mouth, right? But you can use some of the flowers on most of the varieties of this plant. And yes, there's more than one. Forget me not. I gave you the main one. But you can use them as a candied flower. You could dry them and use a few of them in a custom herb blend if you wish. They don't have much of a flavor, but it will throw off people trying to find out what recipe you're using by looking in your seasoning cabinet. But again, use them sparingly. You could also make them into a poultice to put, or a salve, to treat stings. Because scorpion grasses, now I'm not saying use it on a scorpion sting. I didn't say that. Remember, I don't give medical advice because, again, say it with me, I am not a medical doctor, nor am I a certified naturopath, nor a certified herbalist in medicine in any way. However, I will say this, you can use it when you have a stinging insect that comes for you. Mash them up and put it right on there. And it should draw some of that out for you. So maybe it wasn't about scorpions at all. Maybe it was just about stinging things. Who knows? I do know that the way that they grow does kind of look like a scorpion tail because of the formation, but maybe it's a happy coincidence, right? And to continue in that note of sting, the flower itself is seen as a plant not only symbolically to take away the sting of pain, of memory of those we have lost, who have died, but also, you know, it takes away the sting of that, the sting in the heart. And in folklore also, sometimes people would keep them in order to try to keep a loved one safe, to keep them near to them in memory. You know, the phrase is out of thought, or out of sight, out of mind. And this way they can keep them in their thoughts and their prayers and in their minds. And they felt that in some way this would help them constantly keep almost like an aura of prayerful protection around that person because they were mindful of them. And in the case of mourning, it represents again those who have been lost and fallen through wars. And in our neighbor to the north and south, in Canada, you can find it growing wild. Where my husband fishes, it grows in Manistee wild. And in Newfoundland, it's a symbol of their war dead. And when I say our neighbor, to the north and south, I mean Canada. In Newfoundland, of course, it's north of us. But as you know, here in Michigan, there are parts where Canada is actually south of us. So I get to say the north and the south. So yay. I really love this flower a lot, and that the fact is that it goes back so far that I believe it was Henry IV even used it as an emblem. So everyone seems to love this little flower. I really want to put it in my garden this year, and I hope it's not too late, but I think we might have one more snow before it's all over, so I'm kind of waiting. And I hope that you'll consider planting it as well, but if it's invasive in your area, maybe keep it contained to a pretty little pot. If it's not, then feel free to put it anywhere you want. I really think this flower and its history through Europe and through other places of the world, especially remembering the valiant history it had with the Freemasons as a symbol of resistance, is altogether lovely. And I think you should maybe consider planting it. I love to share these little things with my friends, and we're friends, right? And I hope to see you here next time on my Magical Cottagecore Life.